Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. That is page 784 in your pew Bible. Incidentally, if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take that pew Bible home with you. That is our gift to you this morning. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. These pew Bibles have a very small font. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
All right, thank you, Mark. Getting us started, exciting. All these announcements going on, all these things going on around the life of the church. It's an exciting time to be here, and hopefully, if you're new, an exciting time to check out what's happening in terms of community groups, in terms of ministry fairs, just getting plugged in, just getting yourself acclimated here to the life of the church. Great time to get plugged in to what God's doing here at Redemption City Church. And we're so glad you could join us and so glad you could be a part of this series that we're doing on missional living. We're looking at this question here as we're, you know, launching two services, as we're growing, and as we're in this kind of new inflection point. It's a new season for our church as we're stepping into this new season that we're in, and we're looking at what is the mission of the church? Like, what are we doing here? Anyways, what are we trying to accomplish? Some of you may have thought about that before, like, why are we doing this? Why do we get up every Sunday morning and go to church and be a part of this church thing? I mean, we could be having brunch down at, like, Wolfgang's, or, like, you could probably be at the beach today. I mean, it's supposed to be in the 80s. Like, there are a lot of other things you could be doing, wonderful things you could be doing here in West Michigan. Why are we here? Why are we investing all this time and effort and energy in this thing called church? And so we started answering that question last week by looking at the establishment of the church in Matthew 16, 18. The church was not an afterthought. The church was Jesus' idea. He told us in Matthew 16, 18, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Jesus promised to build his church, right? And that the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it, and he gave the church the keys of the kingdom to let people in. And we're joining Jesus in bringing people from death to life, right? From darkness into light, from that domain of darkness into the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing here. Like, this is life and death sort of stuff that we get to be a part of together. And so I gave us a little challenge last week, the rattling the gates of hell challenge here. We have that hashtag now on our Slack channel. If you're not in that Slack channel, you should jump in there, because on that channel, we're sharing opportunities to share the good news of Jesus Christ, opportunities to invite people to church, opportunities to have spiritual conversations, to be out there on the front lines engaging people with the good news of Jesus. If you haven't jumped on there and seen some of the requests that are on there, they're incredible, right? People are sharing their faith. People are having conversations with colleagues in their work environments, right? People are praying for family members who just got converted. People are praying for people. I mean, this is incredible and exciting stuff for our church to step into these opportunities to reach people far from God, to welcome them in to the life of the church and help them be a part of this community. So if you're not on that channel, if you're not on Slack, you should get on Slack. It's our communication platform. If you're not on that channel, you should jump on there. This week, though, we're going to be looking at the Great Commission. I want to suggest we can't understand the mission of Jesus without understanding the Great Commission. Now, the most familiar version of this is found, of course, in Matthew chapter 28, which Mark just read for us. Many of us are familiar with it. We've probably heard it before, right? Jesus telling them all authority in heaven and earth is given, which is pretty incredible if you think about it, all authority on heaven and earth. There's a claim for you. If I got up here and said, hey, folks, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of Mike. Hopefully you would all be running for the exit right now. I hope you have the discernment to go that this guy is crazy. But Jesus, having risen again, having been seated at the right hand of God the Father, claims all authority on heaven and earth. And he tells us to go and to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And he promises to be with us to the end of the age. There's also a slightly less famous version in Luke 24, 46 through 48, where Luke tells us, and this is Jesus talking here again, giving another commission. There are these different snapshots of the commission. I want to give you a sample of them this morning. Jesus says this, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer on the third day, rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. In the book of Acts, when Luke picks up the sequel to his gospel, he says this, but you will receive power. This is Acts 1:8. You will receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. But the most succinct version of the Great Commission comes to us in John 20:20. And I love this. As the Father sent me, even so I'm sending you. So as we're thinking about missional living, these are the passages we want to be grounded in. These are the passages we want to be marinating in. These are the passages we just want to be swimming in as we're thinking about missional living. These are the passages that inform what it looks like. Jesus' commission informs our mission, and so we need to think deeply about them. This passage in John 20:20 is so helpful, right? As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. To be sent in Greek is where we get the word for apostle. An apostle is a sent person. It's where we get our modern word for missionary. A missionary is somebody who's been sent out. That's what missionaries do. They go, of course, and we think always of global missionaries because they go around the world. You know, Ken got on a plane, as terrified as he was, a young 20-year-old, and went to Turkey with Rhonda to go be a part of church ministry there. Jim and Kay Panaggio went to Lima, Peru, and did ministry in that place. Right? To be a missionary is somebody who's sent out with the good news of Jesus. And my big idea for this morning is a simple one, riffing off of John 20:21, which really could be a summary of our entire series, right? Because Jesus is on a mission to seek and save the lost, we are on a mission to seek and save the lost, right? Because Jesus is on mission, because Jesus came for us to rescue and redeem and restore, we're on mission to be a part of what he's doing in the world. And so I really just want to look at two things this morning. I want to look at Jesus' mission and our mission. Really, those are the fundamental realities that we need to keep in mind as we're starting to build a theology of missional living here, as we're thinking about what it looks like to step into missional living. And so let me pray this morning as we dive in that God would meet us here this morning as we step into this sermon, as we step into this series, and we step out the door into missional living and opportunities to engage with our friends and family and colleagues and neighbors. And so, Father, we come this morning because we want to see more of Jesus. We want to see his heart for the lost, his heart for the broken, his heart for the marginalized, his desire to leave the 99 to go pursue that one lost sheep. God, we need to see more of Jesus, right? His ministry that we see all throughout the gospel in the most extraordinary ways. God, as we dive into this sermon, as we dive into this series, God, I pray that we would get more of Jesus' heart for us, his heart for the lost and the broken and the lonely and all of those hurting and struggling. God, would this series be an opportunity for us to get more just of the glories of our Savior? And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to start with Jesus' mission, okay? What did God send Jesus to do, right? We saw in John 20, 21, right? As the Father sent me, as the Father sent the Son, so I am sending you. It's striking that 40 times in John's gospel, Jesus is described as the sent one. Isn't that interesting? Then again, if this word sent is our word for missionary, Jesus is the ultimate missionary. Jesus is the ultimate sent one. 40 times, John's reminded us, Jesus was sent on mission to come and reach us. Probably the most famous passage of scripture as it relates to Jesus sending comes to us in John 3, 16 and 17. Some of you might have heard this verse before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order the world might be saved through him. Here we learn that Jesus was sent from heaven on a rescue mission to save the world, right? That's what he was here to do. This mission begins with the wonder of the incarnation, God taking on flesh and blood and moving into our world, right? We read in John 1, 14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, right? This is shocking at so many levels, right? The God of the universe leaving the comforts of heaven to come down and seek and save that which is lost. This is the foundation. This is why we do what we do. Jesus steps down into our world and into the brokenness around us and the hurting and the pain and the suffering. God is not aloof. He's not out there somewhere, but came right down into our world. He was familiar with suffering, a man of sorrows, Isaiah tells us. As he stepped into the world, he ministered to the broken and the marginalized and the hurting, and you just see him move towards people in compassion all throughout his life, whether it's engaging with religious insiders like Nicodemus or it's hanging out with the woman at the well who's been married 5 times and incredibly full of brokenness. Jesus is out there on the streets, in the neighborhood, reaching out to the lost sheep of Israel. He's out there, you know, performing, making water into wine. You see him out there healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. Jesus' work was to come, right, to rescue lost sheep. John tells us in his first chapter that he was going to be the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. Jesus didn't just come to commiserate. He didn't just come to cry on, be a shoulder to cry on, to just step in. He came to take all the sin and brokenness of the world on himself on the cross. All of the gospels show us moving with great resolution towards the cross. That's his ministry. That's his focus. He's going to come not only to see our pain and our sorrow and empathize with us, sympathize with us, but actually come to bring restoration and redemption and reconciliation to our world, to go the distance to reach that which was lost, right? That's our Savior, right? That's why we're here at church on Sunday, because Jesus came and went after us, came and to rescue us, to seek and save that which was lost. And that is the beauty of the gospel, right? As we marinate in that, as we reflect on that, Jesus' love for us, his sacrificial love demonstrated on the cross, we become a people who want to be shaped by that same love, that same forgiveness, that same mercy, and share it to the people around us. Friends, we're not the main character here in this story. Jesus is the main character. He's the one that is on mission, right? The mission of God emerges from his heart directly and comes to us through the person of Jesus, who is the ultimate missionary. We're the supporting cast here. We get to point people to Jesus when we're talking about mission, right? We're not the missionaries par excellence. We're just pointing people to the one who has come to seek and save the lost, who's come to rescue, who's come to redeem, who's come to reconcile. And as we get that, right, we begin to understand our mission. Because without Jesus' mission, our mission would be pretty unintelligible, right? We'd have nothing to offer, right? No second chances to offer, no grace, no forgiveness, no extravagant love. You take away the mission of Jesus, right, and our mission becomes something of a farce. But as we are captivated, captured by the person of Jesus, the work of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the mission of Jesus in the world, right, our lives are caught up into a way bigger story, and we have something far more to offer. And without a fresh awareness of Jesus' mission, friends, we would be pretty insufferable. Can you imagine, like, you know, if we lost the passion for what Jesus has done in our lives and we tried to share that with other people, right? The best missionaries are those who remember what God saved them from, that remember what it was like to live in the darkness, without hope, without God in the world, right? The best people to show God's mercy are the people that have received God's mercy. The best people to show God's love are people who have deeply experienced, that have tasted and seen that it is good. Without reminders of how patient Jesus was with us, man, we're going to be impatient with others. We're not going to have the time to walk with others in the kind of patience and compassion that we see, the tenderness that we see continually demonstrated by our Savior. But once we've appreciated the wonder of Jesus' mission, we're ready to appreciate our mission, right? Which is where we're getting to our mission that we get taught. Because this is a series about missional living, right? We're called to be on mission with Jesus out in the world, but we can't start without recognizing Jesus' mission is the foundation for our mission. And I want to go through in this each of the Great Commission texts to see what they teach us about our mission. Each one kind of gives us a different emphasis, a different focus point, a different way to think about the mission, which is this beautiful, complex, multifaceted thing in the Bible, right? And we could say the whole Bible is about God's mission to rescue and redeem and restore the whole creation. But the church is sent out as a part of that mission to go and reach people in this world. And I want to start this morning, as we're thinking about our mission and what we're called to do, I want to start with Luke's gospel. Luke focuses on the theme of witness. And so if you flip over to Luke 24, so kind of the end of each gospel, except for the gospel of Mark, we have these beautiful commissioning passages. And so in Luke 24, 46 through 47, we read these words. This is 24, yeah, starting in 46. And he said to them, "Thus it was written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." And if you flip over to Acts 1, we read, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Witness is a metaphor from the courtroom, right? If we're familiar with this term witness, right? A witness is someone who testifies to what he or she has heard, right? A witness must tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God, right? That's what you swear to as a witness. You're there to give testimony to what you've seen and heard. And in a criminal trial, that has bearing on, of course, the sentencing and everything else, right? We're similarly called to witness to who Jesus is and what he has done in our lives, right? From our understanding, how we have been captured and captivated by who he is in the scriptures, right? And what we've seen him do in our lives, we give witness to that. And I want to suggest to you that's something anyone in this room who is a Christian can do, right? If God has gotten a hold of your heart, right? You can give witness. If someone asks you about Jesus in your life, you have an opportunity to share what you know and understand about Jesus. You have an opportunity to share, man, what he has done in your life, man, what an incredible opportunity. You may not get a ton of opportunities like that where people are just like, hey, tell me a little bit more about Jesus or what he's done in your life. But when you get those opportunities, right, every Christian has a wonderful opportunity to share what Jesus has done in their lives. And of course, the more you've experienced Jesus' work in your life, the more likely you are to share that with other people. The more deeply the work of healing and redemption and restoration that's happened, the more likely you are to share that with other people. The deeper the work he does in you, the deeper that work he's going to be able to do through you in the lives of others. And notice here, we don't have to be the judge here. We don't have to be the jury. We don't have to be the prosecuting attorney here. Yet really, in Luke, it's witness. Be a witness. And I don't want to start there because I feel like that's like anybody can do this, right? You can do this if you're a Christian. You have an opportunity to be a witness to Jesus as you have opportunity in your everyday life and the mix of whatever you're doing and whatever is happening. We get to be witnesses to Jesus. So that's Luke's gospel, and way more could be said about that, but that's the focus. That's the focal point in Luke and Acts. When we come to the most famous statement of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, the metaphor shifts to discipleship, right? As we already read before in Matthew 18 or 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Right? A disciple is a learner. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is an apprentice. Rabbis in Jesus' day would have disciples who would follow them around, learn from their teaching, immerse themselves in their rabbi's way of life. They wanted to know everything about their teacher so that they could emulate them, so they could model their lives around them. And so Jesus' disciples have followed him around for 3 years, right? Learning who he is, seeing him in action, hearing him teach, asking him questions, watching him go to the cross, watching him rise again, literally touching the scars in his wrists and in his side, seeing him give the disciples this great commission, right? And Jesus is entrusting them here with the mission to pass along what they've learned about Jesus to the next generation, right? That's what discipleship is, passing along the faith to the next generation. And we've been entrusted with that very same thing. In fact, disciples have been making disciples and making disciples for the last 2,000 years, and now there's a few billion of us out there because we have continued to do that work. And we have that beautiful opportunity to do that today. So what does it look like to make disciples here? I think I have a little slide, maybe a little roadmap for discipleship here. As we're thinking about discipleship, we're helping people move from this position of, I'm not interested, I don't need that, I'm not a spiritual or religious person, I don't have anything to do with any of those things. People that are downright hostile to religion want nothing to do with it. We're trying to help those people move towards seeking Jesus. Maybe some crisis comes in their lives, some trial, some situation that knocks them off balance, and all of a sudden they're like, you know, I'm thinking about this. I'm curious. I'm seeking Jesus. What does that look like? And we just kind of help encouraging them along with spiritual conversation. We're answering questions they might have, walking them through those early steps of misconceptions about Christianity, ideas that they have. Maybe they heard something or saw something on television that some televangelist said, and they're like, that's crazy. Let's go back to the Bible and actually reinform on what actually Christianity is, what it's like. We're giving them good information and background to walk through that. And then we're trying to help people move from that step of seeking to actual belief and trust in Jesus, actually like making that commitment in their own lives, stepping across that divide from, you know, Jesus is interesting. He's fascinating to, I'm going to just give my life to Jesus. He's going to be my Lord and Savior. I'm going to totally give my life to him. I'm going to sacrifice that life to him. I'm going to take that step into belief and into what it looks like to follow Jesus. We're there to help people on that journey. We're here to help them get baptized, right? Matthew's saying, go make disciples, baptizing them. We're going to have the tank in here just a couple weeks from now. We're going to be baptizing people who have professed their faith in Jesus, want to identify with Jesus publicly in his death and resurrection, want to testify to the change God has done, has brought them out of death into new life. We're going to be doing that. Friends, and hopefully we have a ton of people that are going through that process as we're doing this series, as people are meeting with Jesus and we're getting to baptize them. And then we're helping them learn how to walk that Christian life, take their first steps and what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, what it means to live in community, what it means to begin to have this boldness, to begin to share their faith with friends and families and coworkers and bring other people through this process. Friends, this does not have to be some mystifying experience. God, making disciples is just having spiritual conversations with people along the way, taking them along the next step in their Christian journey. You don't have to take them all the way. You don't have to bring them all the way from atheist to church planner in one conversation, okay? You've got lots of time to have lots of spiritual conversations with people so that we can be about the work of making disciples here at this church. And then finally, John's gospel takes us back to where we started with this focus of sending, right? As the Father sent me, even so I'm sending you. Missional people are sent people engaged into the work God has. John wants us to know that as the Father sent him, the Son is sending us. We have a missionary identity and missionary authorization given us by Jesus. We've been deputized to go out there and take his good news out into the world as his missionaries. As disciples, we're sent ones. And of course, for the disciples, that meant, as we've already seen in Luke and in Acts, starting in Jerusalem, and then which was where they were all at, in Jerusalem, and then going to Judea, broadening that out, and then going to Samaria, and then ultimately to the ends of the earth, filling every nook and cranny of the world with God's presence and God's good news. That's what we've been called to. And so where should we start as disciples of Jesus today? Let me give you a few suggestions here. And this is where, if you have that little handout in front of you, you could begin to start taking some notes and all. And my suggestion would be put it up on your refrigerator and jot some notes down about maybe some of the places where God might be sending you. Maybe God has already sent you to these places and you just have to look at these places with missional intentionality. Think about school, right? Some of you are going to spend most of your time in school, whether that's high school, middle school, elementary school, college, whatever. You're going to be on school. So you're going to have these wonderful opportunities to engage with other people, to listen to the struggles that your classmates have so you can share with them the hope Jesus offers. You can listen for the longings of your classmates and think about the way Jesus meets us in those opportunities, right? Some of you are going to spend your waking hours at home taking care of little ones. So maybe the neighborhood is going to be where you're going to be spending a lot of your time. You have an opportunity, right, to open up your home to be a safe place for people to come, go for walks in the neighborhood. Get to know your neighborhood. Neighbors, get to know what are they passionate about? What do they love? What do they hate? What are they afraid of? Get to engage with them. And you may do some of your best work with other young families, other young parents that are walking through some of the same struggles you are. Some of you are going to spend most of your waking hours at work. So live in your job with missional intentionality. Whether you're flipping burgers or curing cancer, you can do it with excellence. You can do it with joy. You can do it as a service to the Lord. You can do it as worship. You can be listening for the spiritual struggles and aspirations of your colleagues. You can walk alongside of them and care for them with the very real and very genuine struggles that they are walking through, right? There's incredible opportunities in those spaces. Some of you are going to do your best missional work on the golf course or at the gym or in your running club or your local arts club, whatever it might be, right? You're just going to find spaces out there through your hobbies to be able to engage with lost people, get to know them, and share the heart of Jesus with them. Some of you have large network of extended family. It's West Michigan, right? If you grew up around here, you probably have tons of relationships and people. And family can be messy and hard because we have a history, right, with family, and they know us from when we're little kids, but we also have lots of time with family, which is the beauty of it. Like, you're stuck with those people for life, and so you're getting an opportunity probably to walk through some pretty intense and heavy things with family members over the years. Don't neglect the opportunities that you have there. Some of you are going to do your best work in relationships, your networkers, your connectors, your inviters. I don't see Alex here this morning, but like, yeah, some of you are golden retrievers. Like, you just want to meet people and hang out with people and just love on people. And like, you're going to do your best work just connecting, and wherever you go, you're going to be doing that kind of beautiful work. And there are plenty of other ways to think about it, but I just wanted to give you a few categories as we're thinking of being sent. Think about the places God has already sent you and think about doing those things with some missional intentionality. Think about maybe the opportunities God is giving you in those spaces without going anywhere. And if you're going to go to a foreign country or go reach the unreached peoples of the world, or you want to go plant a church, you want to go reach campus ministry, go for it. 100% we'll support you, we'll encourage you, we'll be behind you. But for most of us, right, we're already where we're at, and God is going to use us there. So in conclusion, we have these different commissions in Matthew, Luke, John, and Acts that have different language, but we could sum them up this way. Some of you guys are like, hey, is there a definition for this whole missional living thing here? A couple people were asking me that. I was like, okay, I don't have one, but let me give you one stab at it. Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert in their book, What is the Mission of the Church? Summed up these Great Commission passages this way. They said the mission of the church is to go into all the world and make disciples by declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit and gathering these disciples into churches that they might worship the Lord and obey his commands now and into eternity to the glory of God the Father. That's a great definition. I like C.S. Lewis's definition. I thought it was even more short and succinct. The church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ and make them little Christs, right? That's our goal, right? We're to reach people for Jesus and help them become more and more people united to Christ, transformed more and more into his image. And thankfully, each of these commissions also comes with an incredible promise, right? Matthew tells us that the risen exalted King, Jesus Christ, seated on the throne at the Father's right hand, has all authority in heaven and earth, right? We're not going on our own strength. We're not going on our own authority. We're going as representatives of the King. As we step out into the world, we go in his name, in his authority, right? And Jesus also says that he will be with us always, even to the end of the age. God isn't sending you out there to do this beautiful work of missionary work without going with you. God is going to be with you every step of the way, in every awkward conversation, in every way where you're going to step out and take a risk. God is going to be with you in that process. Incredible promises for us to reflect on, right? Luke tells us, hey, wait, don't go out there on your own strength, but wait till you're clothed with power on high. Wait till you're given power by the Holy Spirit. So it's not just your words, not just your testimony. It's not just you being a cheap used car salesman. It's the power of the Spirit working through you, the beauty of the Spirit, of God's grace that people are seeing in your life. When you're talking about Jesus, it's more than just you and your personality or charisma or your ability. It's the Holy Spirit working in and through you to help others see the beauties of Jesus. And of course, John, in his gospel, has another fascinating statement there, right? John said to them, right, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, right? We're not doing this in our own strength or our own power. The Jesus who is himself on mission and has all authority in heaven and earth has authorized us for mission, promised to be with us every step of the way as we live on mission, promises to fill us with his Spirit. And so let's be a part of this beautiful work this week. As God gives us opportunities, let's step into those opportunities to be to speak to Jesus in the opportunities that we have at all the different places God is going to put us this week. Let's pray.